Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Kuf Yud Dalet. And we're finally putting our teeth right into that Seder. Actually, in this Mishnah, we're only holding at Kiddush. So let's begin with the story of Kadesh. So says the Halakha Mishnah, Mazgulo Kos Rishon. This is a machlokas that we had back in Masechet Brachot, if you recall. And over there, we had a long list of things that are very different in the way Beit Shammai approaches a Seudah and the way Beit Hillel approaches a Seudah. This is an excerpt from that Mishnah, and we're bringing it over here only because it's nogea how we make the Kiddush on Pesach. And as we mentioned, Kiddush on Pesach is the most fundamental Kiddush because it is the ultimate Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim for one reason, obviously. But it's really the ultimate Kiddush because of the fact that the entire Pesach is based on the idea of making differences. And the Kiddush is the beginning of Manish Tana, what changed. That's Kiddush for Havdalah, which the Rambam learns out of the Pesach of Zachor at Yom HaShabbat, and that is Zachor at Yom HaZeh, Sho Yatzata Mimitzrayim. And therefore, we want to review the Dinim of the Kiddush right here in the context of our Seder Shel Pesach. So we're going to mention it again. So first of all, remember that we do Mizigah. At the time of the Gemara, there was no choice but to do Mizigah because of the wine needed to be mixed. And today we mix a little bit of water anyway as an act of covenant for the wine. So we're Mozig Lokos Rishon. And we do this for the one who is leading the Seder, and he's going to say the Kiddush. And that's the Lo. Beit Shammai Omrim. What do you do first? So first, you always are mevarech al hayom, v'achakach mevarech al hayayin. You don't start a Kiddush by saying borei pri hagefen, because it's not time yet for the borei pri hagefen, says Beit Shammai. First thing you have to mention is the Kiddush on the mitzvah of Kiddush. Then you say, so first you say mekadesh ha-shabbat, or mekadesh yamim tovim, or mekadesh yisro v'moadim, or Yisrael v'shabbat v'yisro v'moadim, whatever the situation is. And then you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Borei Pri HaGefen. Why do you do it in that order? We'll see in the Gemara what the basis of the machlokas is. Whereas Beit Hillel says, you first say the bracha miyayin, and then you say the bracha on the yom, and that's the way we make Kiddush. What is the basis for this? So just to remind you, says the Gemara, of the Braita that spoke about all of the different inyanim back in Masechet Brachot and Rabban. Devarim shebein Beit Shammai Beit Hillel b'Seuda. Here are the things that differ in how to deal with the Seuda, and we're just going to select one thing out of all those things, and that is the one that our Mishnah spoke about, and we skip the rest of the things of the Braita. Beit Shammai omrim mevarech al hayom, v'achar kach mevarech al hayayin. Why is this? Well, first of all, the yom is gorem l'yayin sheyavo. Why are we drinking wine before a meal? The only reason we're doing that is because we have this mitzvah to be mekadesh, and we're koveya that mitzvah on the wine. But I mean, that means that the fundamental mitzvah, that which makes us say this bracha of borei pri hagefen, which we're making on the drinking of the wine, well, we wouldn't be drinking wine right now, for God's sake. It's not even time to drink wine. We're only drinking wine because we have this mitzvah of Kiddush. So obviously the Kiddush comes first. And then we make the wine, lichvod the Kiddush. I mean, it's much more reasonable. Furthermore, it's not merely that the yom is gorem l'yayin sheyavo. It's also the fact that the first thing that you had to deal with before they brought any wine to the table is you were standing in shul or walking through the streets, whenever it was, at that moment the day became kadosh, right? Now, the moment that that day becomes kadosh, so it's at that moment that you're chayev to be mekadosh the yom. And in fact, in your davening, you're going to say the inyanim of the Kiddush. So why should we put the wine, which is the secondary chiyuv, that only happens after you come home, and now it's on the table. Now they bring out the wine, fine. But the wine's not at the table yet. You were already chayev to say Kiddush Hayom, so why should we put the wine first? Beis Hillel says, on the contrary, mevarech al hayayin, v'achar kach mevarech al hayon. The reason is, mipnei shehayayin gorem l'kiddush teyamer. We would not be saying Kiddush right now. The bracha of Kiddush, not just the mentioning of Kiddush, but the bracha of Kiddush is only said where you have wine available. By the way, wine is not necessarily wine. I mean, wine could be pot, right? But the idea is what this same argument would apply both for Beit Hillel, both for Beit Shammai, whether we're using wine or whether we're using something else. But the point is that the logic is, why in the world would we be saying at this point the bracha of Havdalah? It's only because we have the wherewithal to be koveya that special bracha on something special, like yayin. Possibly on pot, if that's the case. Okay, so that's number one, says Beit Hillel. Number two is that davar acher, we have a general rule, and we learned this out of the Torah from Al Olata Tamid. What does it say? Al Olata Tamid. It means that the Torah is telling you, always first bring the Olat Tamid, and then and only then do you bring the Musafim. Now, what does it mean when it tells you specifically that this is because of the fact that it's the, always it stresses the Olas Tamid? So the idea over here, why do you have to say, Asher lo Olata Tamid again, at the end of the Moadim? It's because it's to teach us that it's the very fact that the Ola is Tamid, that means it has to come first. And because of that, we make that a rule. Where we have two different chiyuvim, one of them comes oftener than the other, then the one with the higher cycle, the tedirut, the more often we make it, that's the one that comes first. Okay, which bracha do we make more often? The bracha of Kiddush or the bracha of Yayin? Havei Omer, the bracha of Yayin. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking we make the bracha of Yayin because we often will drink wine just stam. But no, that's not the reason. Because the Gemara in Zvachim makes it very clear that just because you say something because you feel like it, that's not called tadir. Tadir means as a chiev. Not because you happen to like drinking wine and therefore you happen to coincidentally make a bracha of wine 10 times a day. That doesn't make it tadir. What makes it tadir is the fact that wine is used all the time for mitzvah. So whether I'm going to be making a bracha on Kiddush today or making a bracha on Kiddush every Shabbos, making a bracha on Kiddush every Yontev, making a bracha on Yayin for Birkat HaMazon, making a bracha on Yayin when I go into a wedding, a bracha on Yayin when I say a Sheva Brachot, I'm always making a bracha of Yayin for mitzvah. Therefore, it's the equivalent for the Asher Lo Olat HaTamid, which tells me that is tadir in terms of the mitzvahs. And therefore, the bracha of the Yayin should come before the bracha of Kiddush. That's the point. And so I've got two reasons that I will make the Seder HaKiddush the way we indeed paskin, ve'hilchata k'divrei Beit Hillel. This is how we paskin. First, borei pri hagefen, and then we make the bracha on the Kiddush Hayom. Now, says the Gemara, explain to me, why was it necessary to throw in this last piece? Beit Hillel had a perfectly valid argument when Beit Hillel said, we wouldn't be saying Kiddush if we didn't have wine. Isn't that enough to say that that means that the wine is the only reason that the Kiddush is being said, and therefore, of course, the wine comes first? So why does he have to add this business about Tadir v'she'eno Tadir? Because, says the Gemara, v'chitema, you may say to me, Beit Shammai offered two reasons. So hatam tarte. I understand that I have one reason to counter Beit Shammai, but Beit Shammai also mentioned the fact that the chiev on the Kiddush, ayom, comes before the chiev on the yayin, because I wasn't even home yet, and I was already chayev in the Kiddush ayom. So, therefore, although you do have a good argument, but Beit Shammai has two arguments. Therefore, kamash malan, I also have two arguments. So if you're going to try to tell me that the idea here is, let's follow Beit Shammai because I only have one and he's got two. Achanami tarte, I've got two also. And that is tadir v'sheino tadir, tadir kodam. And we paskin like Beit Hillel. Now, I just want to point out that the two arguments are actually parallel to each other. In other words, the point is that first Beit Shammai tainas that the chiyuv of the yayin is only over here to be drinking wine before a meal is because I have to have a kiddush. So that means, says Beit Shammai, that it makes sense to say that after all, the yom is the reason I'm making the bracha on the yayin. For that, Beit Hillel counters and says, no, because although that's true, I still would not be able to say a bracha on the yom if I wouldn't have the yayin. So in terms of that argument, the yayin should come first, even l'shitatcha. Furthermore, comes along Beit Hillel Shammai and says, but let's take into consideration which chiyuv comes first. And that chiyuv of the day came before the wine came to the table. True, says Beit Hillel in his second argument. However, which chiyuv came first is not the determinant factor over which bracha comes first. What determines which bracha comes first is tidirut. And therefore, the svara of Tadir v'she'eno Tadir counters the second point of Beit Shammai. So now, we're paskening like Beit Hillel. Says the Gemara, well, of course we paskin like Beit Hillel. I mean, why do you need to tell me? Pshita. Da nafka bat kol. Remember back in Erevin, we had 3 years of arguing, Elo amrim alacha kamotenu, ve'elo amrim alacha kamotenu, until finally the bat kol came out and said that even though they're wonderful, Beit Shammai, and so on and so forth, but the halacha is like Beit Hillel, and the Gemara goes into, why would that be, and so on, but the Lumaisa, we've got a bat kol. So why would we need to mention specifically over here that the Hilchasa is Kedivrei Beit Hillel, Pshita? Well, first of all, Ibai Tema, the Mishnah may very well have been written, this piece on the Mishnah, that the Hilchasa Beit Hillel may have been written before the bat kol. And because that took place later, those were the 3 years of arguments. So maybe this is, in fact, a leftover from that period. You're right that nowadays we wouldn't have to say Yochataka Beit Hillel. The Iba Itema, or you could say that even if it were written later, I still would have needed to say Yochataka Beit Hillel. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehoshua, Ein mashgichin b'bat kol. We pay no attention to the bat kol behind the curtain. And because of that, we would need to paskin in each case as necessary. And therefore, we paskin over halacha k'beit hillel. Now, this is a very choshev atosvus that points out the issues over here by approaching it obliquely. And what Tosvus asks is, why is it that when it came to the story in Masechet Kelim, of the Tanur Shalachnai. So over there, we had that story of the big, big machlokas about whether if you cut through the pieces of the Tanur and you stick them back together again, whether they're going to be Makabal Tumah. Remember the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer? And it got very bitter. And in the end, they had to put Rabbi Eliezer into Nidoy because he wouldn't give up on his approach. But the bottom line was that over there, a bat kol came out. And over there, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, despite the fact that we have a bat kol. And it's only, even though over there, Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, we pay no attention to that bat kol. Over here, we say, okay, some hold of Rabbi Yehoshua, some don't. And how come over there, we definitely do not paskin like that bat kol, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? How do you explain that? So Tosfos says, look, a bat kol that comes to counter one of the kololim of the Torah, namely, that the halacha goes according to the rabbim and not according to the yachid, which over here we have over here, that, we're going to try to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer against the chachamim. We're not going to listen to that bat kol. Mashenkein, over here, we don't have that problem, as I'll explain in a moment, because Beit Hillel were the rabbim. So therefore, the bat kol was not doing anything that was different. So if it was the rabbi, what did we need the bat kol? I'll explain in a moment. But the question that Tosfos, the obvious question that Tosfos asks is, if that's the case with Rabbi Yehoshua saying we pay no attention to a bat kol because lao basha mayim hi, it's no longer God's Torah, it's our Torah, and stop bossing us around. So that business about we're not mashgicha b'bat kol, maybe in fact it's only true in the case of Rabbi Eliezer. How do we know that Rabbi Yehoshua means to say that even when it's nogea, the case of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, as we're now saying that according to Rabbi Yehoshua, we wouldn't even paskin with that bat kol in our case? You see the problem. Maman of Shach, if you're paying attention to the bat kol, why don't we pay attention to the bat kol with Rabbi Eliezer? And if we're not paying attention to the bat kol, only because it's different than Rebbe Eliezer, then maybe Rebbe Yeshua also didn't mean an overall ruling that even in this case we would pay no attention to the Baal Kol. And yet the Gemara is saying we need to paskin like the Hilchot Beit Hillel because we maybe are going like Rebbe Yeshua and we disagree with the Baal Kol. So Tosis explains, the reason that we know that Rebbe Yeshua is talking about a universal rule that we pay no attention to a Baal Kol is because of the way that he phrases it. Since it says, Ein Mashgichin beBaal Kol, we pay no attention to a Baal Kol because Lo Bashamayim, he's stating that as a universal principle. It's nothing to do with the specific case of Rebbe Eliezer or Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. Now, why indeed would we, if we don't hold of Rebbe Yeshua, why indeed would we ignore the Baal Kol in the case of Rebbe Eliezer, Paschal, like the Chachamim, and yet when it comes here to the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, we would pay attention to the Baal Kol? That's because the Baal Kol in the case of Rebbe Eliezer was telling us to violate the norms of the Psak Halacha. And the norms of the Psak Halacha is you go according to the Rov. The Baal Kol is telling us to go according to the Yochid. Sorry, we pay no attention to anti-normative Baal Kols. But here, you'll say, if that's the case, if Beit Hillel is the Rov, why then do we even need a Baal Kol? So here's the issue. Beit Hillel was in the majority. The thing is that Beit Shammai were always more successful in proving their point. Because, as the Gemara puts it, they were sharper than Beit Hillel. And you could keep arguing with them forever. So the question that was raised was, is the din, when you have a significant rabbim on both sides, do you simply add up the number of people, or at that point, do we look to the concern for the intellectual acumen, and perhaps we would say, even though Beit Hillel is technically in the Rov, we should follow what appears to be more intelligent? For that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can weigh in and say, well, I'm also intelligent. In other words, because over there we're not talking about the question of the norms. The norm would be indeed to paskin like Beit Hillel. So you're the one who's raising this new possibility. Comes on to Paschal and says, listen, I'm intelligent too. I'm telling you, I go according to Beit Hillel also. I'm not impressed with the intelligence. So that's more like a getter of a Gilui Milta in terms of saying you can rely on a Baal Kol because it's not a Torah in the Shamayim. I see Moshe Forman has got his hand up there. Dr. Barry, you want to just examine things, see whether there's any problems? I'm assuming that's what he's got it raised for. He certainly wouldn't want to say anything. Okay, yeah, this is, we're not dealing with Rebbe Eliezer right here. Thank you. Next. All right. So now we understand why we would need to paskin, and we now know how to make Kiddush. But we also now know that it is time for Le Capitan. Thank you, Capitan. So now we are ready to sink our teeth into the next piece of the Seder. So what do we do next? Well, we're going to be doing Tibul. So as you know, in order to do Tibul, we're concerned with getting our food wet with wet hands. So we better wash our hands. That we don't even mention. That's a given. We'll talk about that later. But the next thing that we need to do is what we call karpas. Problem is that the Mishnah doesn't talk about karpas, karpas being some kind of celery, vegetable of some kind. Instead, it says, Heviu lefanav. And now at this point, after the wine, they now bring the veggies. This is how the Rashbam learns. We now bring the veggies. Tosis learns, we now bring the little table that has the things for the Seder on it. Because remember, in those days, everybody had their own little table. The translation of that idea into our terms would be the Seder plate. So now we would bring the various things that are necessary for the Seder, which would include chazeret. Now, chazeret is very definitely not karpas. Chazaret appears later on in the list of things that are good for Morar. But it's not time for Morar. When is it time for Morar? It's only time for Morar much later when we eat the matzah, because it does say al matzot umrorim, which means first matzah, then Morar. So we really shouldn't be making anything on Chazaret. This is very strange. And yet it does say in the Mishnah, dip your Chazaret. It doesn't say what to dip your Chazaret in. I mean, I don't know. Last time we dipped Chazaret, it was always in Charoset. But here it just says mitabel. And remember that the word mitabel is used for any type of achila at the time of the Mishnah, where all types of achila were always eaten by dipping first into something or another. So none of this is very clear, and this is what our daf today is going to be involved in. What in the world is Chazaret doing here before we even got to the Haggadah? So mitabel b'chazaret ad shemagia l'parperat hapat. Way before we get to the actual morer, which is viewed as the continuation and the thing that you eat together with your matzah. So that would be before we get to the morer, we're already eating more up here. Phew, weird. All right, we're going to see why we do that. Hey, viu lefanav, then after that we bring matzah, chazeret again. This time we bring it with charoset, and we bring it with shnei tafshilim that are a remez to the Korban Pesach and the Chagiga. We're going to talk about each of these things in the Gemara. What are exactly these things, including how we make a charoset, we'll be talking about later on. And we do this even though there's no mitzvah to be having charoset. And of course, the Gemara is going to ask, well, if there's no mitzvah, what are we doing it for? Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok omer, no, it's not true. There is actually a mitzvah to bring charoset, and there is something special about charoset, which again we'll talk about. And then at this point, b'migdash, hayu mevin lefanav gufo shel Pesach. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we would actually bring the Korban Pesach, of course, together with all of this, because that would be the thing that we're going to be talking about, Pesach Zeshon Ochlim, and so on. Now, before we begin, let me mention to you the various factors that are important to take into consideration over here in trying to understand what in the world dipping into Chazaret would be for. First of all, we do know that we want to dip before the Seuda. Why do we dip before the Seuda? Because it's weird. There's absolutely no reason why we dip before the Seuda. The only reason that we do it is so that the kids should ask, why are we dipping before the Seuda? All of which goes to show that the Manishtana questions are stupid, meaning they don't have answers. Because the last thing we would like to do is to tell the kid who says, Daddy, why are we dipping before the meal? Is to say to him, because, stupid, we wanted you to ask why we're dipping before the meal. There is no reason why we're dipping. That would basically destroy the Seder right then and there. Okay, so that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so one of the things that we do when we do the dipping is the kid says, why are we dipping before the meal? And then you tell the kid, well, we're going to be dipping in the meal later. We're going to be having more. So then why are we dipping twice? Which leads to the same issue. Well, we're dipping twice because we want you to ask why we're dipping twice. So then you were only dipping now to make me aware of the fact that we were going to dip later? So the whole thing seems to be a grand tautology in which we're expecting this to make sense to a child. So that's one issue. The truth is we do dip now because we want the kid to ask why we dip now. One of the reasons for asking that is because we want him to ask. The other reason is because we also want him to know about the later dipping, which we'll mention to him, and then he'll ask even more. So why bother doing it twice? Okay, so we sort of integrate that into one question. Now, the other issue that needs to be taken into consideration is, what is the correct time to eat morer? So that we've already discussed. The correct time to eat morer is after you eat the matzah. So then the question would be, if I would have, let's say, karpas, or potatoes, whatever you want, and I also have morer, So I understand that I can go ahead and I can do a dip in a veggie to get the kid to ask, what the heck are you doing? Without causing any damage to the Seder, right? Because I'm not eating Morer now. I'm just driving the kid crazy. So I take a little bit of salt water or vinegar and I dip the potatoes into it. And then the kid says, what are you doing? And now I'm very happy because I was Yotzei Machiev to get the kid to ask what I'm doing. But how about if I don't have any other veggies? All I have is lettuce. And I'm going to need that lettuce in order to eat the Morer. So now you could say, hold on a second. I mean, just to get the kid to ask why you're dipping now, you're going to mess up the whole Seder and you're going to eat the Morer at the wrong time before? And if you do, do you say an al achilat Morer on that lettuce? Or do you wait until after the matzah to say al achilat Morer? Now let's consider what that involves. If by eating the lettuce, I am going to be mekayim the mitzvah of Morer, then l'chora I should need to make the bracha of al achilas Morer, and I should have a very good explanation of why I feel it's worthwhile ruining the Morer by eating it at this early stage. Then the question would be, and let's say I did, and then suddenly I get potatoes. So would that mean that after we eat the matzah, I should dip potatoes? Because, I mean, what's the point of eating lettuce? I already ate lettuce, right? And I was Yotzei Machiev of Morer, so all I want to do is get the kids to go crazy, so I'll dip potatoes. And the kids will say, what are you dipping potatoes for? And I'll say, there's no reason, because I wanted you to ask, or I won't really tell them that, right? But then there's another question. The question is, will I of necessity be Yotzei, the mitzvah of Morer, just because I ate Morer? Or do I need to have a kavana to eat the Morer? And if I don't have kavana to eat the Morer as the mitzvah of Morer, and I'm only eating the lettuce in order to dip something, and as far as I'm concerned, I hereby dub the potato, even though it looks like lettuce, and therefore I would not be Yotzi the Morer. Why? Because mitzvot tzrichot kavana. And thinking that the lettuce is a potato means I have no intention of eating it for Morer. So then the Mishnah might be saying, you know what? Who cares if you only have lettuce? Don't eat the lettuce as Morer, just eat it as a potato. And then you'll be able, when it comes to the Morer, to eat the Morer at the proper time after the moment that you ate the matzah. So we have to analyze a number of issues. Is it really worth it for us to make a double recognition for the tinokot? Isn't it good enough just to tell the tinokot when they ask, why are we dipping potatoes? Just tell them, well, something special about tonight, which you'll see. Then the same thing would be if I've only got chazeret. So then maybe it'd be better to do without that and get them to ask on other things. So we need to understand why the Mishnah specifies lettuce of all crazy things, because that's the worst thing. So let us begin. Says Reish Lakish, you see from this Mishnah that obviously mitzvot tzrichot kavana. It must be that you will not be Yotzei the mitzvah of Morer by eating lettuce early on in the meal, because you have no intention of eating it as Morer. Because kiven delo be'idan chiyuv d'morer hu d'ochalei. Since you are not eating now in order to be Yotzei your chiyuv of Morer, you're only eating in order to ask, to get the kid to ask, why are you dipping before the meal? So therefore, basically, you are eating it b'borei pri ha'adama. Now, let's assume that that means you're not going to make the bracha of al achilat Morer. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but it's easier to learn the Gemara at this point that it does mean that. So at this point, I'm only saying borei pri ha'adama, and I eat a piece of lettuce exactly the way I would eat a potato. So therefore, dilma lo ichavin lamor, Tosfos says dilma lo ichavin lamor doesn't mean maybe. It means that obviously you're not mechavin lamor because you weren't even thinking about Morer at this time. And that would explain why it's not a problem to dip before the meal to get the child to ask. However, Isar Kadaitch Mitzvah Loboy Kavana, says Reish Lakish, because if you would be Yotzei on the Morer without even wanting to be Yotzei on the Morer, so why would I be doing Trei Tibule? Why should I dip my Morer the second time if I already was Betovel it one time and I was already Yotzei? It would be ridiculous to be Toivo the Morer later after the matzah, wouldn't it? No, why? I understand, says the Gemara. Why would it be crazy to dip in the Maror afterwards? Maybe the reason that I'm dipping afterwards is so that I can be able to tell the kids, ah, you think that's crazy, just that I dip before the meal? I'm going to dip again. So then the kid will say, what are you dipping twice for? So that way I'm just enhancing the question. Maybe that's why I'm doing it. Now you'll say, try to keep up with this because it's really intricate. Now you'll say, but if that's the case, if it's only to get the kid to ask why I'm dipping twice, then why can't I dip a potato after I eat the matzah and then have the kid say, why are you dipping potatoes? And then I'll say, ha, 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 wouldn't you like to know? Because there isn't really any answer except the fact that we wanted to dip twice. There's a reason for that. Nobody says that for your second tibul you can dip potatoes. That's for sure you have to dip more. But if you already yotze more, why would I be dipping more? That's Reish Lakish's point. So the Gemara has to address that issue as well. How is the Gemara addressing that issue? So Tosus explains, the Gemara is addressing that issue by taking for granted that even if you were yotze the maror before, you would still need to eat maror now in order to be mekayim the mitzvah al matzot umrorim in that order. It's sort of like saying, if you said kriyat shema early in the morning, and now it's going to be an opportunity for you to say kriyat shema with birkot kriyat shema later on, whether you say kriyat shema again. Of course you say kriyat shema again, because the brachas of kriyat shema are kavua on the kriyat shema, right? It's the same thing is true over here. I already ate the maror early in the morning to be yotze maror bizmanai. Right? So should I eat maror now with the matzah? Of course you should, because now is the way in which you're correctly supposed to eat it. First matzahs, then maror, right? Okay. So that I understand why I need to eat maror for the matzah. That's a given. The only question is, maybe I don't need to be yotze at all the maror. There's got to be a good reason for me to be yotze the maror if I already was. That's only because there's really a solid reason. We want there to be two dippings. That's basically what the Gemara is taking into consideration, says Tosfos. So therefore, how does Reish Lakish know that the reason that we're able to use this chazeret, this lettuce up front, and then do the lettuce again later, is because we never were yotze the mitzvah of maror? Maybe we were yotze the mitzvah of maror, and we're, because mitzvahs do not need kavana, and we're only dipping again because we want to drive the kids crazy. And once we're dipping again, obviously we're going to dip specifically in maror to be yotze the mitzvah of maror bizmana. That's what the Gemara is saying. So kihechi delavi hakerali tonyokot. Now, you're going to say to me, so then it's crazy. If that's what it means, then the Mishnah should have said to dip into a potato, right? Why in the world would it say to dip lettuce, which leads us into this mess? The Mishnah should have demanded that we try to avoid eating lettuce at the wrong time, and we should eat a potato for the first dipping, and then later on we'll eat the chazeret. Why would the Mishnah say a case of eating a chazeret? So the Mishnah should have said, hey, stupid, don't eat lettuce now. You'll be yotze your maror. Eat a potato. No, I'll tell you why. Because if the Mishnah would have indicated that you need to eat something besides lettuce, I would have thought, okay, the Mishnah is saying, dip a potato and then dip lettuce, right? Later on. But what if you don't have a potato? Oh, so then the Mishnah is saying, don't do a dip before you dip the lettuce, because maybe the Mishnah, but the Dafka does not want you to dip your lettuce before the Zman, because you'll be, I would say, you're maror at the wrong time. So the way I would have understood the Mishnah, if it would have said potatoes, would have been, do not dip if you don't have potatoes, meaning, or some other vegetable besides one of the morors. That's how I would have understood it. So therefore, the Mishnah has to say, because I would have said, listen, I mean, just to get the kids excited, I'm not going to be over and eat the maror at the wrong time. That's crazy. It's like, it just doesn't seem to be worthwhile. Therefore, Kamash Malan, the Mishnah wants to tell me, even though we are messing things up a bit, and all we have is lettuce, it's kedai to dip the lettuce twice because of the importance of getting the kid to ask now, and he has to see a tibo before the meal, and therefore, even if you've got chazeret lechudei, kamash malan, that afilu chazeret be'ina tre tibule, because of how important it is, de lahavi behekera litinokot. So therefore, I don't see what is Rish Lakish's raya, that the only reason that the Mishnah is said to use chazeret is because it's gufa coming to tell you, you will not be creating any problems using lettuce early on in the Seder, because you're not going to be thinking that you want to use it to be Yotzimar. And if you're not thinking to be Yotzimar, you will not be Yotzimar. And therefore, you won't have a problem. And everything will be very simple. That would be the way that the idea that Rish Lakish wanted to say, but the Gemara is saying, that's not the point. The point is, it's kedai to do it anyway. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. You can't bring a raya. Rish Lakish is trying to bring a raya, that mitzvah's tzrichas kavana, and I have a completely alternative narrative about what this Mishnah is saying to say, trying to say. So I don't see that it's a proof. Not only do I not believe it's a proof, I think there's a problem with Rish Lakish. Because take a look at this braita, v'otani. Let's say that you ate your maror from a dish that wasn't meisered demai. In other words, it was purchased from an Am Haaretz. So you will recall how many times we had before that since theoretically anyone is able to eat demai, because all you need to do is to be mafkir your possessions. And if you're mafkir your possessions, you're an ani, and an ani has a right to eat demai. So therefore, something which is theoretically mat'im for you is something that you can be yotze with. Okay, so ochlan demai, you were yotze, but dig this. Ochlan belo mitkaven yotze. Oh my God. So the Braita says beferish, that if you eat your maror without any kavana, it doesn't matter. Now, what is that saying? Mitzvot lo tzrichot kavana. So what's Reish Lakish trying to bring a raya over here from the Mishnah, that mitzvot tzrichot kavana? I mean, I understand that he could read the Mishnah like that, but if you already see a braita that says not like that, so then that implies that the correct interpretation of the Mishnah was the alternative narrative, namely that it's kedai to mess up the Seder in order to get the kids to ask. I mean, why would he want to say that the Mishnah is arguing with the braita? So now that we find a Mishnah that says beferish that mitzvot einan tzrichot kavana, and you'd be yotze, this seems to be a serious problem for Rish Lakish. Furthermore, achlan lechatzain yatza. Also, if you eat them by halves, so you eat a half a kezayit and you eat another half a kezayit, you would be yotze on one condition. As long as you didn't have... Now, people misread this statement as follows. As long as you did not have a gap between the two achilas of kidei achilas pras. Wrong. The kidei achilas pras starts at the beginning of your first eating and ends at the end of your second eating. It is not a measurement of a pras, of a gap. But remember, the word bain does not mean gap. It means between. And therefore, if you read it correctly, as long as you have a total time between the two achilas is what it means. Not the gap between them, but utilizing both of them. Between these two achilas, you had a total of kidei achilas pras. Is that a perfectly accurate definition? Absolutely. So just remember, that's what it means. And don't let everybody tell you, this is lav dafka, it doesn't mean bain. Nonsense, it's very dafka, but it means bain in the correct way. Okay, so in any event, as long as from the beginning of the first achila to the end of the last achila, you have not taken more than kedei achilas pras, that's a machlokas, shirav shnekezes, shalosh, whatever. But the idea would be that you would be yotze in that event. Okay, so then that means these three Tanoim seem to definitely be showing us that there is got to be, there's a serious problem over here with Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish is claiming that this is not true. Okay, so therefore we're talking about over here, I'm sorry, I said Kizesim, I meant Kibetsim, excuse me. So the pras, there's a machlokas, whether it's talking about six, the actual kikar is six or eight. So over here it's a question of whether it's three or four, depending on the sheet of the Rishonim Beitzim, not Gezeisim, sorry. Anyway, so meanwhile, we've got a problem. Answers Reish Lakish, that's not a problem. The question of whether mitzvah strichas kavana is a well-known machlokas tanoim, and this braita is going alib the Rabbi Yossi, and it's a machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Yossi, Tani, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, afapi shetivo bechazaret, mitzvah lavi lefanav chazaret, vecharotzet sheni, I say, sorry, the mission is going like Rabbi Yossi, and there's a mitzvah to bring again chazaret. I understand, but that doesn't prove anything. What do you mean there's a mitzvah? Everybody agreed there was a mitzvah to bring again chazaret. What are you proving? We just said it was a mitzvah because of the tinoket. You're the one who's claiming that it's because of the fact that you were not yotze your morer yet. So Vakati says, well, how does that prove anything? We might. Dilma kasav Rabbi Yossi mitzvahs ain't zrichot kavana. Maybe the mitzvah, Rabbi Yossi agrees with the braita. And the only reason that he says that you need to bring it again is because, again, like we said, like our alternative narrative, no, because why does Rabbi Yossi go out of his way to say mitzvah lahavi, right? Mitzvah lahavi, you don't say it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah means it's a mitzvah morer. That's the point. You still have your mitzvah is what he's trying to say. That is the issue. So then that means we have two completely different ways of understanding the Mishnah so far. Either we're talking about it's being no problem of having chazeret, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that mitzvahs actually tzrichas kavana, and therefore there's not even a point of looking for potatoes. You can just use your lettuce, not l'shem morer, at the beginning, and then use the same lettuce, yes, l'shem morer, at the end after the matzah, and everything is being done perfectly well, including the questions of the children and the correct timing for the mitzvah of morer, and so on and so forth. And the alternative narrative is, no, there's two elements to the questions of the children. One, doing a tibul before the meal, and two, doing two tibulim. Furthermore, it's kedai to get that question in, even if it means eating the morer at the wrong time, which there would be no way to avoid, or to practically avoid. And what's more, we would then eat it again later, because we want the kid to see we eat it twice, and we would bedavka eat morer, even if we had a potato later that suddenly arrived, because once we're doing it, we're going to already do it bizmano, even though we were already yotze, but we certainly would like to do amatzah sumerorim b'diavad, so we'll do it in this way. These are two completely different definitions. Now, there's also one point that we haven't discussed. When it says to dip that lettuce, note that it doesn't say anything about dipping that lettuce in charoset. It just says dipping that lettuce. Does that mean dipping that lettuce in, some type of salad dressing? In chometz? In salt water? I don't know. Or does it mean charoset? This is a big question. If we're talking about potato, then we'll see one of the issues later on about why we need charoset is because it's a necessary ingredient in preventing damage from some of the chemicals in lettuce. And so in order to offset the chemical in the lettuce, which is called kappa, we dafka use charoset. But then the idea would be that we ought to need to eat charoset if you're using lettuce. Okay, so maybe charoset is coming as a mitzvah, not as a practical logistic thing, and it's there to remind us of the mortar, let's say, which we're going to talk about later. So then that charoset would be together with the mortar particularly, not with the opening dip. And then when it says, and in fact, the Mishnah never mentioned charoset until afterwards when it says evilo, right? So the truth is, we've got three very different shitot, actually four, about this issue. The Rambam, and the way that we've understood the Rambam in the past, is that the Rambam holds that the first dip is also an essential part of the Haggadah because it's coming to take the place of the Morer in one of the twin Haggadahs, as we'll see. So according to the Rambam, A, you have to eat a kezias of karpas. And he stresses this. every single individual at the Seder must not eat less than a kezias of karpas. Exactly the opposite of the instructions in your Haggadah. B, the Rambam stresses, everyone must dip his X, that includes even potatoes, in charoset. Because that's also for the same reason, you see. Even though it's not time for the morer, which is done later on in the primary structure of the Haggadah, because there's always this secondary Haggadah in the background. That's the Rambam's approach. Some learn that the first tibul is not necessarily b'charoset, but can be. Others learn it can't be, but maybe that's only if it isn't lettuce. But if it's lettuce, it has to be because of kappa. And then the Rush says, even if it's lettuce, we don't need the problem in the beginning, only later, which is a big problem. If there's kappa, why in the world don't we have to count to the kappa? These are all issues to be discussed. Anyway, we get to all of the various halacha in Yonim. But I just wanted to bring it up because shouldn't just run by without thinking about what does it mean when you say you dip it. In what do you dip it? And then we say that we bring out on that table, according to Tosfos, or onto our main table, the way the Rashbam was understanding it, two types of tafshilin. What exactly is meant by tafshilin? Omravuna, two types of tafshilin could be whatever. I don't know. You want to have rice together with beets? That's also good. You like borscht? So your two tafshilin could be some borscht with rice. And since Rav Huna said that, even though it seems to be okay, I mean, but that's certainly not the best thing, is it? I mean, aren't we trying to be meramis to the Pesach and the Chagiga, and therefore it should be two different kinds of meat? But Rava was so loyal to Rav Huna that if Rav Huna said something, even if he said it just like casually in that way, if that's what Rav Huna said, then that's what I'm doing. So he would always be makbid as his Seder to always have beets and rice at his Seder, because that's what Rav Huna said. So, of enough of me puma to Rav Huna, I'm going to do it the way my Rebbe said. Om Rav Ashi, but Rav Ashi points out, I mean, look, that's not exactly casual. I mean, let's not be disingenuous. Remember that according to Rabbi Yochanan, rice is actually chametz. So, I mean, when he said, yeah, you know, you can have a little bit of borscht and rice on Pesach? Oh my God. So, you see from here, Tainiz Rav Ashi, apparently, nobody cares about Rabbi Yochanan's problems. And let the Chayishla, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, obviously we're not even going to be machmir like, I mean, okay, so don't take rice, take quinoa. No, we're going to bedavka take rice. The Tanya, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, orez is a type of grain, it's a min dagan. And if it becomes chometz, you would be chayav al chimutz or koris. And therefore, you could even make a matzah out of rice flour. And Adam Yotzebo Yedei Chovato BePesach. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it would be also, you couldn't cook rice for one of your dishes over here. It's a concern of maybe eating chametz on Pesach. We're going to let people cook chametz at their Seder. It's crazy. So obviously, Rav Huna is saying, that's bechlal on an issue. Okay, so that's how Rav Huna put it. Rav Chizkiya said, look, let me tell you something. When you cook fish and you give it like a nice coating of egg when you're frying your fish, that's considered to be two completely different dishes, even though it's all one thing. So even dag ubeitzasha alav. Rabbi Yosef says, no. I mean, you need at least two different types of meat. Because the whole point over here is one of them is a zecher for the Karban Pesach, and one of them is a zecher for the Chagiga. So because of that, how are you going to have a zecher for, I mean, for heaven's sakes, I know that all of these vegans, they all claim, no, it's just as good to have beets. But for heaven's sakes, who are you fooling? Who ever saw a red Karban Pesach? So obviously, beets can't really do the job. And therefore, Tainiz Rabbi Yosef, you're going to have not beets and rice, you're going to have two different kinds of meats, and that you would be, I would say, one for the Karban Pesach, one for the Chagiga, and therefore you're not Yotze unless you do this. And actually, the Rabbeinu Chananel says you even need to have one of them that is tzli as a remes to the Pesach, and one of them that is cooked as a remes to the Chagiga. Problem is that Tosis points out, because the Chagiga is also supposed to be roasted. So how is that a Chagiga? So Davka Tosis says, no, actually cooked, not roasted. No, our minhag is not to have roasted, certainly not to eat it. So if we do have roasted wheat, anyway, at least the Ashkenazim won't eat even this roast, even though mikra din, as part of the remez, they aren't. Some people, but dafka, use chicken necks. And of course, the minhag has become to have the neck with an egg for the Ashkenazim. And then the egg is eaten, but the egg is eaten for a whole different reason. It's eaten because of atpash. And remember, atpash means that the first day of Pesach is always tough, which is Tisha B'Av, and therefore you should eat the egg remez to the Churban, and there's a mitzvah dafka to eat the egg out of the Seder plate. Okay, those are all things we'll discuss again when we go over the Seder lahalacha. Ravina says, yes, although you're right about two different types of meat, it doesn't have to be literally two different types of meat. Let's say you take a bone, and you make bone broth, and that itself is the equivalent of garma ubishula. So you have that which you cooked from the bone. You have the etzem bone. So that would also be two different tafshiling. Now, let's just talk about the bracha. What bracha do we make? I mean, back on the karpas and morah thing, because I'm very confused. If I'm going to be eating morah, don't I need to make a bori pri adama on the morah? So if I'm eating lettuce in the beginning, I'm making the bori pri adama. So what would I do? Would I make bori pri adama, wait until the morer, and then add the bracha on the morer later? Do I say the bracha on the morer before, even though I'm going to be yotzi the morer later? Does that depend on whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana or not? How exactly does that work? So it's sort of obvious, says the Gemara, if you do have potatoes, so you don't get into this problem, then you got a much easier life, because you're going to first, for the karpas, you're going to make the bracha of borei pri hadama, and then you'll eat them. And later on, after everything else, and you do the motzi and the matzah, and then I understand that at that point you'll be making a new bracha for the achilas morer, and then you will eat the morer. But what do you do if you only have the lettuce? That's my issue. Heicha deleka elachasa. So what should I do? Well, says Ravuna, the same thing. You first say bori pri adama for that first dip, which is the lettuce. So it's also morer, but you only say bori pri adama. And then later on, after you eat the matzah, then you are going to make your bracha on the morer. And at that point, you would eat the morer, because Ravuna holds that mitzvah strichas kavana. So since mitzvah srichas kavanah, I bedafka don't want to be yotzi the morer earlier, I will only make my bori pri adama, and then later on, I will be yotzi the mitzvah of morer. Tomorrow we will see that there is a very strange alternative logic here, which we're going to have to think about, Bezrat Hashem, when we get there tomorrow. Okay, so today we did some incredible things. We had two completely different approaches to how it is to understand the Seder of a Mishnah and the Inyonim of the Trei Tibuli. We had an amazing Machlokes, Reish Lakish, and the Gemara, the other narrative, as to whether the mitzvah, Legabi, the children, is specifically the prior to the meal Tibul, and is nothing to do with Shnei Pa'amim, but it's rather focused on why are we dipping before the meal, specifically, and we're ready to let go of that if necessary, if it wouldn't have been for the fact that we have mitzvahs that are tzrichas kavana. We got into the big machlokas bichlal between the Rabban and Rabbi Yossi about whether mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. We got into an analysis of when we will listen to a paschal and when we will not listen to a paschal. We went into the two different aspects of the Svar of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about the relative chashivas of the bracha of the yayin in terms of Kadima, to the Barucha of Kiddush, which of course gives us certainly a different way of looking, Bichlal, at what our concentration is when we're making those Baruchas. It gives the Kiddush a completely different sense. If it's Yayin specifically that makes the Kiddush come, we need to think what the implications of that are in terms of the La'asot for Kiddush. And is it great getting our toesies wet for getting into... This is only dipping toesies, remember. But we definitely have dipped at least into the Seder to be continued Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Anyway, yes, Reb Barnea, you're trying to tell me something. Drink and drink. Even though this is a question of Ben HaKosot HaLalu, which is not so pashut, you need to understand that I am entirely immersed in the Seder Shel Pesach, to start telling me to drink Ben HaKosot HaLalo, to drink other things, and I'm not sure that you're ready to take that upon yourself.
It'd be too low in Kiyumo. I just felt that maybe you should share with us, please, the Tosus of Echad Zecha LePeshach, Echad LeChagiga, Keshecha Yudav Leot
Peshach. Ah, that's very good. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That's a very good point. Yes. Being as this year is, in fact, a special situation, because this year we have Erev Pesach being Shabbos, which means that we're not going to be bringing our Korban Chagiga. So the question is, if you don't bring the Korban Chagiga, then it would not be proper to, on those kind of years, to bring Shnei Tavshilin. Because if you're learning that one of those Tavshilin is for the Chagiga, and one of those Tavshilin are for the Pesach, so then it would turn out that you're bringing a remez to something that isn't even there. So why would we be doing that? So Bepashtus, you would not bring both if that were the case. Tosus brings that. However, says Tosus, according to the Re, it's not good to make that distinction. Because if you would make that distinction, go out of your way to change it this year, then it would look like you really mean that it's an actual Chagiga or a Pesach, and it looks like you're eating Pesach and Chagiga b'chutz. Not if it's borscht, I guess. But if you're bringing the two types of meat, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yosef, and then we get into another problem. And then what would happen if people will say, now, wait a minute, last year we had a Pesach that came out on an Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos, and we had two bones, which means that this year we should have a Korban Chagiga. And then they're going to come and they're going to bring a Korban Chagiga when they're not supposed to be bringing a Korban Chagiga, and so on and so forth. To which actually Tosva says, I mean, come on, man. That's not really much of a problem, is it? I mean, we'll probably have Moshe Rabbeinu there, you know, Aaron HaKohen there. And if not, we'll have Barnea HaKohen there. Yeah, he's smart enough to warn us. No, don't be stupid. That was just a remez. And we wanted Bedavka not to change the remez from year to year so it wouldn't look like a chiyuv. So all in all, if we're going to have borscht and rice, keep the borscht and rice on the table even this year. At least Daniel. The rest of us have got another problem with rice, but we'll talk about that one. So that the minig is to every single year to indeed bring our Shnei Tavshilin. Thank you, Reb Barnea.
And help people have their food.
And? Ah, yes. Thank you. It's amazing. It's got really a lot of concentration. This is something. Where's Alon? Is Alon here? Or is he hiding? I don't see Alon. All right, I was going to remind him about Doc. But actually, Gavi can stick in for Alon on this. You remember what Gavi said, what Doc said? You've got good concentration, P.K. Barnea. You never let go. Okay. So Barnea reminds us again that we have to make it possible for other people to eat, and anybody who wants to send Kimcha de Pischa is welcome to send it to me, or to let me know that I should send it out. He doesn't need to send it to me. And then, as we had in the Gemara yesterday, well, every contract requires collecting, and if it comes in, it probably comes in Moos Rows, but I'm willing to take my chances. So have a great day, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you, Barnea, for the reminders. See you all.